This is Wazir Gray. You're now tuning in to the Hip Hop Digest Show with King Killer, Kurt G. E. Green, Elders of the Hip Hop, never frightened on the culture, on the culture, on the culture, on the culture, on the culture.
I've tried fad diets, powders, pills. Still, my weight's been up and down like a yo-yo until the AIDS plan taught me how to take off weight and help keep it off.
AIDS may taste like a candy, but AIDS contains one of the most effective appetite suppressants you can buy, and there's no stimulant in AIDS that could make you nervous.
With AIDS, I ate less, so the weight came off. To help keep it off when I sometimes want things loaded with calories, AIDS helps put me in control.
Let the AIDS plan teach you how to take off weight and help keep it off. Try peanut butter AIDS. Try peanut butter AIDS. Try peanut butter AIDS. Try peanut butter AIDS. Try peanut butter AIDS.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show. It's your man, DJ King Killer.
This your boy, Kurt G. And I don't know if I should be in the same room with this nigga.
And this is E Color, and I'm way far from that shit.
Yes, sir. I'm thinking about walking the fuck up out of here.
You know what that's about.
Yeah, I know.
Happy recording day.
Happy recording day, sir.
Friday the 13th at that.
Yeah, ain't that something?
Ain't that, I know, right?
What a difference a week makes.
Mm. So, before we get into the digest proper, we're going to cover what is obviously in front of every single solitary American in this country.
That shit, nigga, worldwide, my nigga.
Okay.
Not just the country. It's all over the fucking place. Mm.
COVID-19, better known as Corona. I bet them Corona beer niggas is pissed.
Or not.
Yeah, they could be making money off this shit.
Hey, let me tell you something. Cats who are old enough to remember, cats may not remember the diet suppressant that came in little chocolate things called AIDS.
Yeah.
And that shit... Man, you know, when AIDS took over in the 80s, that diet suppressant candy was out of business.
Yeah, I remember the little candies, little chocolate and
no
caramel.
No doubt. It was, and the name of them joints was called AIDS.
Yes, it was. Little teeny squares.
You're going to have niggas on their phone checking.
Hey,
like,
dude.
What the fuck these old niggas talking about?
Hey, man.
They know what that shit was in the refrigerator, thought it was candy.
No doubt. No doubt. So anyway, let's get into the whole situation with the virus as best as we know it. Trump,
we know just as much as everybody else knows.
Yeah, I guess what I want to talk about there as far as like Trump, you know, this nigga a clown, yo. This nigga is a fucking clown and shit.
Anything change?
Nah.
Newsflash. Did you expect him to be anything different? He's circus the ole.
I'm just saying that for the benefit of Trump supporters who think that this guy is so fucking wonderful. Man, that motherfucker is dumb as a brick. And
yes, he is.
And I'm telling you, and really, to be honest with you, as an American, yo, as a proud American, I'm embarrassed that motherfucker's our president.
But he is the most unpresidential motherfucker you ever want to meet. He has no presidential in his bones at all. He just, whatever comes to his mind, he just says it. I like that about him, but that's the shit that's fucked up about this nigga. He don't think for a second. He just says it.
So, anyway, so about the virus in itself, what I posted on the text chain again, I guess the key thing that I was trying to get across is that what the United States is playing and what most people and all epidemiologists are playing, it's a numbers game. And it's not a numbers game, but it's strictly about numbers. They can already accurately predict how many people are going to get sick, probably the percentages of death because of what has already happened around the world. So it's not going to be any different in the United States. Hence, that's why the NBA and huge events. And as of right now on the text chain, people are chiming in that their work has let them know that they don't need to come in. You're staying home. Kurt G just got a text from his job. You know, it's crazy. So all that being said, and I'm going to repeat what I said on the text chain. The number of beds in the United States, hospital beds, literally, are finite. I know people don't think about that, and I only think about that because that's the industry I work in, but there are not hospital beds just like wide open like that. So you think you got the virus, you're going to run to the emergency room at the height of the bell curve. And them motherfuckers going to be like, sir, how old are you? Okay, sir, you're 41 years old. Do you have any underlying health conditions? Yeah. You go in and get a quick test. Yes, sir, you're positive. Please go home. There's nothing we can do for you here. Get that NyQuil, nigga. Robitussin. Peace.
Wash your hands.
Of course. You know what I'm saying? Because most young people
are sitting here right now listening to you, and they're going, they're flabbergasted, B. Right now, what you just said, they're flabbergasted. You mean to tell me a motherfucker tested positive and you sent them home?
At the height of what they call the bell curve here, that means the height of the outbreak in the United States of America, the healthcare system is not equipped to handle it. All critical beds, all ventilators, all critical ICU beds will be filled by the time a reasonably healthy young 40-year-old person ends up at the ER. Okay? Hospital's gonna be like, peace, God. I'm serious. And that is why when Trump and them niggas got the slow run on this, they really started out the gate slow, and Trump talking about the order, Corona's a Democratic hoax and all that dumb shit. That's what makes this so bad, because cats thought it was some old, oh, that's some Chinese niggas eating bats, you know, and that crazy shit. This shit is spread so fucking easy. You know what I mean? It's just spread just easy, you know? So, look, I don't have any predictions, you know, on how this is going to go and what's going to happen. You know, shit, I'm working a motherfucking ER. I'm going to work nervous as a motherfucker.
B, I got to ask you on the other side of it. You know, because I just see a whole lot of fear mongering, but I'm looking at the fear mongering in the media, and then I'm looking at the actual numbers.
Okay.
And they don't match. They don't match. I understand that it spreads quickly and people 40 and under get sent home, or 41 and under get sent home, but it's not here in America taking people out like that, where people got to run and get toilet paper. I just don't get it.
Well, Americans do that anyway. So you take a big snowstorm. Americans do it.
Oh, hell yeah, B.
You know, that's...
Shelves are wiped the fuck out.
Exactly. And we're talking about, at least on the East Coast anyway, a serious snowstorm.
I remember that, yes. Got to go run and get eggs. I'm like, I'm always used to wonder, like, damn, you don't have shit in your crib already?
So, and that's what I'm saying. So, and what people aren't listening to, and they're not listening to Anthony Fauci when he says that this particular situation, unlike other epidemics worldwide, I mean, the history of epidemics is crazy, but unlike this has a reasonable incubation period, and because it isn't something that, it's not like the Black Plague and shit, you know what I'm saying, where it's gonna wipe out 20% of the United States,
right?
You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're not saying like that. Vulnerable people, pre-existing conditioned folks, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, they're at higher risk. I mean, it is the worst kind of flu you can think of.
No doubt. Well, it's not as bad as the influenza flu, according to the science, the numbers.
Right, according to the numbers.
So this is why I'm just perplexed. Like, last number I heard was like under 20 people have died from this.
I think it's more than that.
20 people, yo.
I think it's more than that.
In a country of 330 million.
Well, first of all, I think it's more than that.
Okay, let's just say it's 200.
Okay, I don't know what the number is, but the point I'm saying...
Last I heard, it was 19.
Right.
But let's just say it was 500.
Okay.
There's 330 million Americans, yo, that are not all that have pre-existing conditions or failing health or whatever. So... I don't get shook when they say, go get some NyQuil, nigga.
I'm not saying that folks need to be shook. I'm only saying that epidemiologists don't take total numbers from the country and say, oh, this isn't a big deal because out of 300 million, we had 500 people die. That's not how they do numbers like that. They do numbers on a small sampling size. That's why that county in Washington State is going to be a bellwether for the nation. Okay, in that small county, which doesn't have that many people and has the majority of the deaths in the nation, that's how it's going to spread. So you can't see it now because you don't see a lineup of caskets. But again, when it comes to illness, again, that's why every year, let's take something benign. Every year when the CDC and these people, let's say they predict shit like motherfuckers going to catch gonorrhea. They can accurately predict every year how many people are going to catch gonorrhea. Okay? They can do that from years and years of just general human behavior. You know? Generally, it's a bunch of cats out there who be coughing out in, you know, public, wilding, don't wash their hands after they take a shit. You know what I'm saying? They can accurately predict this. You know what I'm saying? So that's why Anthony Fauci and cats like him is on TV saying, you know, you could scoff and yeah, people are irrational, running up and shit, buying out. I started to take a picture and shit. I was at the Giant. The toilet paper aisle and the water aisle was fucking knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, B, that shit's wiped the fuck out.
Man.
That's how it looks, son. And to me, my whole point of view about this thing is not that it's nothing to be concerned about, because it is something to be concerned about, but the fact that niggas is just tripping, just out here wilding, like, what the fuck, nigga? You wiping the shelves out, you doing all this shit that ain't doing shit to stop you from catching the fucking virus. Being in the store,
no, because you're going to the store
with a crowd of motherfuckers. Didn't they tell you to be out of crowds, and you in the store with a bunch of crowded motherfuckers to get some shit to put in your fucking house, to hoard all this shit in your house.
Look, actually, to end this topic, what I want to do is get out. I think it's kind of funny to see people run into the store and panicking in that way. But let me tell you something, B. If the shit gets any more serious than it already is, you ain't seen nothing to the amount of people who are going to be at hospitals wilding because they can't get their grandma in, and people start triaging and making life and death decisions. I'm sorry, grandma 84 is nothing we can do, hoss. I'm telling you. You look at Americans now at the grocery store. It's kind of funny. It's kind of ridiculous.
Right.
But I'm telling you.
We're at the door. Right now, we're at the doorstep of fucking straight mass hysteria. Crazy. Niggas going mutt nuts, and I said it on the text chain. We only a step away from niggas straight killing a motherfucker for coughing on them. That's what's gonna happen. You're gonna see some shit like niggas get the fuck away from me.
If a motherfucker could get murked in a chicken sandwich line, nigga, can you imagine?
That nigga coughing and get his ass killed. Because like the fuck out of here, nigga. You trying to give me that virus, nigga.
So, anyway, that's enough corona talk, yo.
That is, but I wish I could peer into the future, maybe 300 years, and see how this era will be looked at.
This will be looked at if it gets worse, will be looked at as like a plague. That's what this will be looked at. Because we haven't had one of those type of shits, no biblical type shit. In our lifetime, we haven't seen any biblical type fucking plagues that have knocked motherfuckers off.
And well, that's what this isn't yet either.
I know that, but I'm saying you're saying 300 years in the future, if you go worldwide numbers and look at all the people that died and all the hype, they would be looked at as a plague.
Yeah.
So, all right, B, let's get out of that corona shit, please.
Can you put a lime in mine, please?
No doubt.
Grenadine in mine, please.
All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, and it was predicted. I knew it was going to happen. Waka Flocka says he would annihilate KRS-One and Nas on an 808 beat. Just a couple of weeks after he claimed himself whack. And I already said he's going to walk this shit back, because his generation is fucking going to die over his comments and shit.
He's like, fuck this shit. I can't take it no more.
B, the problem, but look, I knew he was going to walk it back because you have a generation who can't take any fucking criticism. You know what I'm saying? Look at the leader of their generation, a fucking narcissistic prick in blackface himself. You know what I'm saying? Who can't take any fucking criticism, any besmirchment of his name and shit. And then you got Waka Flocka up here talking about, you know, I'm a whack rapper. I knew I was whack. When motherfuckers are swearing hard in the paint is the hardest shit they ever heard.
Oh, it could be the hardest shit they heard, but the nigga saying he was whack. His lyrics was whack. The track might have been hard.
I'm going to go by what he first said, and not, I'm going to disregard this second part. Because he said it himself.
Yeah, and he
nobody
knew it.
Made him say it.
He knew it straight from the heart. He said it. Yep. But he's walking it back because he knows niggas is on his ass, and he was a representation of this trap shit. And they like, nigga, you can't do this to us.
No doubt. They can. And his, man, I can imagine the amount of hate mail that nigga got after that comment. Was like, see, damn, nigga, it's bad enough dealing with these old motherfuckers, yo. They never give us credit for nothing. And then you gonna say some shit like that? Nigga,
give
they
me credit
was,
for being honest.
Nigga, his generation was heart sunk. Flocka goes on to say, he was like, when it comes to KRS-One or Nas, if they get on an 808 beat, I'm gonna annihilate them. That's when a whack rapper wins.
Yeah, I'm gonna give him that. But you know what? I will give him that because KRS-One is probably not used to rhyming on those type of beats. Nas is working his way into trying to rhyme over them type
ain't
of beats.
Ain't that the truth?
So, yeah, he probably wins.
I tell you what. I remember explaining to my man, shout out to JC, was good, Newark, that the time that when KRS-One and Nelly was going back and forth, and I said to him, well, unfortunately, even though me and you know clearly in the battle of lyrics, KRS-One is eating Nelly, New York no longer controls the opinion of who's a victor. Nelly was so popular and people so admired him. That's the way a Flocka thing would go. Flocka doesn't even really have to rhyme, just an 808 beat and just grunting or hey. Over an 808 beat is enough.
Not OJ the Juice Man.
Yeah, is enough to get fans of that genre excited. Yo, KRS-One, when that shit right there, KRS-One came out with that dictionary shit. So that's enough. That's enough. And opinions will never be changed.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because the simple fact that if after all this time, we are still talking about the fact that not KRS-One destroyed Nelly. We're talking about KRS-One and Nelly battled, which it was not even a battle.
Wasn't even a battle, exactly. It was not even a battle. But again, come on, man. Truth be told, we're talking about who's the better MC, who had better lyrics. I mean, I got the record by KRS-One that totally destroys Nelly, but it doesn't matter. Because Nelly was so popular, Nelly was so wonderful. Can you imagine today Nelly with the credit card down the butt with this Me Too shit?
Man, it's been a while since I heard the old credit card down the butt.
I know, right? Damn, that hit different when you said
it. Yeah, it sounds different now.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, in the case of this Me Too, yo, you know what I'm saying? Who knows? KRS-One might have had a chance. Wow, that's what's good, yo. All right, next time we're going to Hip Hop Digest. We're talking about who was it before that who said, wasn't it Gucci? Somebody who said he recorded 40 songs in one day or some crazy, or in a week or something.
B, don't even challenge my memory with
okay.
Some shit
yeah,
because like
I probably thought it was a joke even then.
Okay. Well, the next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Lil Wayne records 53 songs in one night.
Like real songs? Like really just real songs?
And this comes from a dick riding blog site, and the opening line in an article said it's an undisputed fact that Lil Wayne is one of the greatest rappers alive.
Yo, B, fuck that. Who is that? What is that blog? Who is that, nigga?
Who's that peeping in my window?
What is that blog? What, wow. You know those that acronym.
Whatever it is, say it.
Yeah, I'm
Kurt G's. That's HNHH.
Yeah. I don't know who that shit is, but anyway.
Okay, well, there is some shit if they said that.
Yeah, that's the opening line. Anyway, so they go on to say that, you know, that Lil Wayne's albums has cemented him as the obvious choice for the greatest of all time, battling other accomplished minds like Jay-Z and Tupac. And, you know, and they go on to say that it was just an unbelievable night. Wayne also says himself that my last files was 53. I did 53 songs in one night. I'm a workaholic, said the Young Money businessman.
Nigga, ain't enough time in the night to do no motherfucking 53 records.
I mean, how good could that shit be?
Son, first off, how the fuck you battle Tupac, nigga?
It's not even a battle.
I'm just saying, this nigga wasn't even wobbling back then, son.
Nigga, this ain't even a matter of battling Tupac. I'm going to tell you what this is, B. I'm going to tell you what this is. And even Pac fans will tell you that, you know, Pac got in the lab and recorded a verse and a half. And then you had unscrupulous people putting out that like it's a whole record.
No,
and it wasn't very good. No, I'm just saying. So how good can this shit be? And is Wayne setting up some shit in case something happened to me? All this shit left on tape so I can have subsequent albums and be seen like a Tupac? You know what I'm saying? With subsequent albums. I mean, for a minute there, niggas was like, damn, another Tupac album, another Tupac mixtape. It's unbelievable. But a lot of that shit was unfinished and wasn't good. And they were just scratch ideas that he recorded. That's all it was. I mean, this is all this is for Wayne. They're just scratch ideas. And when you got Dick Ride blogs who are going to, you know, be just buffing that nigga up. You know what I'm saying? You're just buffering this nigga up.
Well, son, for a certain generation, Wayne is that nigga. So there's a certain generation, and that's my son's generation, where he loved Wayne. Wayne was his dude. So he's that nigga, and lyrically, he is that shit. So you ain't gonna be able to tell motherfuckers that Wayne is not lyrically one of the greatest.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
You're right.
I'm not going to convince cats of that. Actually, you know what? It's probably one of the things about hip hop that even us, you know, we have to accept that most of the pennants that made hip hop great have been torn down by subsequent generations, and we gotta accept that. I think that's why the GOAT talk. I think that's why we hold that so tight, because it is probably the last pennant standing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the art of our culture, you know, graffiti, you know, whole trains and stuff been gone, been torn down. And basically, I remember when Snoop basically tore down the House of Biting when he covered, you know, Lottie Dottie, and just all kinds of things when DJs went from actually cutting to push buttons and shit. I mean, so all the pennants that made the culture great for us, and we have to accept it, that every young generation, that kind of has been their mark. If we can tear this down, we don't have to live up to an older standard. We don't have to live up because we can't. You know what I'm saying? We're a social media generation. We're a everybody gets a trophy generation. Don't criticize me. Don't judge me generation. That type of shit. So.
But this nigga, so basically what they're saying is they're going to tear down the greatest rapper of all time, as in GOAT.
They have to.
So they're naming him that.
Didn't he say himself?
Yeah,
and he's the greatest rapper alive, and I basically was ready to fight anybody saying that. But People believed it.
But did people? But see, the thing that made people even believe it even more, because you had guys like Busta Rhymes, you had guys like Jay-Z, just say, basically pass the torch to this nigga that you are that shit. Mm-hmm. So it was like they didn't leave it up to us to give this nigga the torch. They just gave it to them, and then the people just ran with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, we have to. I think we got to accept that, and I think that there's, you know, and I'm curious about what the text chain thinks about that, yo. If that's something that us as an older generation, you know, I think that we can accept that. You know what I'm saying? It's tough for us. I admit it. It's tough for us to look at the younger generation. Does not and will not live up to a higher level. I mean, they want the higher level accolades, but they can never live up to it, you know, or else they wouldn't fight against tearing the what made hip hop special, the self-regulating thing that got whack niggas the fuck up out of there and let the other niggas rise to the cream at the top. Yeah, of course, you always gonna have whack niggas and whack niggas who have hit records. I mean, that's unavoidable, but for the most part, you know.
Well, when somebody is ready to discuss with me a forensic breakdown of Lil Wayne's catalog and show me some great quotables and all of that kind of stuff, then we could talk. And I'll listen, because I would like to hear what makes him great to them.
You're not going to break it down. They can't break it down like that. They'll break it down like the article I read about a guy who immigrated to this country, and he said the first record that he got, well, what was the name of the group with Wayne and Turk?
Hot Boys.
And he said the first CD he got was a Hot Boys CD, and he never forgot the feeling of what he heard from Wayne and Juvie and Turk, the Hot Boys joint. To a guy like that, you will never.
Don't forget about my man BG.
Yo, no doubt. Shout out to, you know, no doubt. You will never convince him, because you're trying to convince him what he felt is wrong. That's what you're trying.
No. I want him to tell me why it's right.
He can't. He can only tell you how he feels about it.
Right. He likes it. And he like saying they're not going to be able to explain it like the way you want them to explain it. Now, I can sit here and personally say, since my son was such a great big Wayne fan and played a lot of Wayne shit, and I listened to some Wayne shit, I'm not going to say Wayne was whack like some Waka Flocka shit, because the nigga did have some lyrics. He actually could spit. I will say that, because he could put some words together. But his whiny voice and all that extra shit he was doing, I just couldn't take it.
So, you know, and that being said, you know, for me to see that, again, I can tell people all the time, man, you know, just, you know, shout to Sim City, man. That's my man, 50 grand, yo. But I'm telling you, the love light in his eyes, you know, on that, I don't know what it was, the love light in his eyes about that first Drake joint or that second Drake was just incredible. And I cherish that moment, because to him, I mean, that was it. He was the king, and he accurately predicted that this nigga is going to be the king. Shout to Sim. He predicted that, you know. I didn't like the motherfucker when I heard him then. I damn sure don't like him now and shit, all up in blackface and shit. So, that's what's up, yo. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is an emergency Let the Veterans In. It's an emergency release here of Let the Veterans In. Who sent that email? Was that you, Kirchy?
Yeah. I sent it to you guys.
Kirchy sent it, joined out, said, listen to the new J-Elect. All of us have been waiting more than 10 years, I think, since he put out those exhibit records, and saying, boy, this cat's going to change the entire trajectory. He need to get the album out sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
Well, later turned into a decade.
And a whole lot of things in between.
Yes, sir. No doubt. I'm going to say this. We're going to make a roundtable of Let the Veterans In like we usually do. Let me save my shit for when I go. It's got to be Kurt G.
I went first last week. I went first because you said it was my topic.
Okay.
So I'll go first. We're going to give it to Mr. Green over there.
Mr. Green on Let the Veterans In, J-Elect, on the new album. a written testimony.
All right, so this is just my humble, right?
It's always is, y'all. It's always is.
Your opinion.
Always is my 100 humble. I enjoyed the album, and I hear all the frustration that I read on the chain that I saw online. I get all that. It's too much Jay-Z in there, but I don't give a fuck, yo. I enjoyed all. That is the Jay-Z that I've been fucking wanting to hear. And I ain't mad at it. I'm not mad that it took fucking 10 years for this album, for the way it sounds or whatever. It is what it is. I don't give a fuck. We could be sitting here complaining about some other shit, but we got a fucking J-Elect album, yo. And it had Jay-Z on it. Not that slick brick selling Jay-Z. a fucking grown ass man, black man Jay-Z. And I ain't mad at that shit. There was maybe one or two tracks that I was like, ah, they could have probably did a better track. But the album, the 10 cuts, right? I think it's 10 cuts, whatever?
Yeah.
And I enjoyed almost all of it. So I'm very happy that the album finally came out, and I got pretty much what I expected from J Electronica, with a bonus of Jay-Z in there talking shit. So I'm good with it.
Well, I'm going to have to say, sir, I listened to the joint 3 times today. The whole album, 3 times. Because I was just trying to force myself to like this album. I was trying to force myself to like it. Now, I'm talking about like it as far as beat-wise, music-wise. Now, the content and what they were talking about, that I love that. What they were saying and what they were speaking on, I was like, okay, yeah, these niggas is bringing it lyrically. I like this shit here. Now, I think the opposite, way too much Jay-Z. Way too much Jay-Z on this shit, because it was just basically a Watch the Throne album. And I was like, damn, B, don't say it's a J-Elect album when it really isn't, because this is a J-Elect and Jay-Z album.
I don't know, BS.
Let that man get me.
Let me do me. So I'm saying, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to listen to it again. I kept listening because I want to like this album. Because, like I said, lyrically, I like what they're saying. But the beats is like, damn, B, y'all could have picked better beats on this shit. I could hear better beats with y'all niggas, especially with the budget. That you working with a billionaire budget. 2 billionaires. I'm going to call J-Elect a fucking billionaire because he's living the lifestyle. So, shit, he a billionaire too, damn it. So I'm like, what the fuck? Y'all could have picked better beats. No, easily picked better beats. But overall, even that said, I still give the album a B, a solid B, even with all that I just said, because these niggas was actually speaking on something and saying something that I wanted to hear, but them beats I just couldn't, like, I couldn't get with it.
And I'm sorry, I didn't give my A minus. I'm giving an A minus, so it got an A minus and encourages a B there.
Okay, so for me, you know, one of the worst things that hip-hop has created is hype. You know, something about hype that really fucks the whole thing up, because certain albums, if you talk about in the history of albums, I remember when Ready to Die came out, people liked Biggie and they loved his singles, but there wasn't a whole bunch of fucking hype when Ready to Die came out. After it came out, then it exploded. The same way with The Chronic and shit. Obviously, Dr. Dre, everybody knew him from N.W.A. And when The Chronic came out, it blew the fuck, you know, out the water and shit. But this whole shit, so-and-so and such is going to bring an album out. And then you get the hype. And then so, what kind of hype are you living up to? Are you living up to hype of albums previously released and then blew? Because you're not going to get that. You rarely got that. I'm sure the text chain is going to say so-and-so had a hype album when it came out. It lived up to it. I'm not saying it didn't ever happen, but I'm saying that's one of the worst things about hip-hop. So let me talk about this J-Elect album. For Kurt G, I'm the opposite. I was so refreshed that his shit had almost like a cheap feel to it. Like these niggas, you know, didn't fall into the temptation of a Watch the Throne, and I think that's blasphemy to call this a Watch the Throne
on the fact that it was him and Kanye the whole album.
Yeah,
you know, this album is him and Jay Electronica.
But that Watch the Throne shit is a wash in money, is a wash in ego and budgets. This right here sound like to me it could have been them two niggas in a Brooklyn basement somewhere going the fuck in. Okay, nigga, when I heard the Ghost of Soldier Slim and Jay came on and the way he was rocking, that shit took my breath away. I was like, oh, I can't believe this nigga's saying that shit.
Exactly.
It took my breath away. And then Jay Elect, it's like cool, yo. It's literally like Cool Hand Luke. I mean, he's murdering lyrics. I mean, that fucking never-ending story. Oh, God, he's just fucking murdering joints on that shit. So for me, I'm giving the album a straight A, not a plus or minus, but just a straight A, just a straight A type of four mic shit, because you're right, Jay got all the fucking money in the world. You know what I'm saying? Jay Elect, for all intents and purposes, he could have called up any motherfucking body and got beats. But it just sounds like these niggas went and just said, you know what, let's just put it out as is.
But the scene, the people that they got on there, that you would think it would be a lot better quality, because you see Alchemist's name on there. You see Swizz.
I think Alchemist did that Fruits of the Spirit. I'm not sure,
but that's my favorite track.
Oh my God, that shit's
Fruits
stupid.
Of the Spirit is nasty.
That shit's stupid.
That's my favorite track, by the way. I do like that track. The rest of them tracks, I could take a lead. But yeah, that's my favorite joint right there.
I mean, the only thing, even if I wanted to give a criticism, the Shiny Suit Theory, they could have left that off.
Yeah, that's an old track.
That's an old track, and I heard that before. But, I mean, other than that, B, I'm sorry. This shit is so hip-hop to me. This shit is so dusty. This shit is so underground. Imagine, and this is what I'm saying. What I hate about Hove is that Lemonade shit with Wifey. What I hate about Hove is that Blueprint 3 and Watch the Throne and all this fucking windblown production. And man, fuck all that niggas in Paris, all that nut shit. You know what I'm saying? Fuck that Hove. But now, I don't know. I mean, I'm saying it right now. Thank goodness for Hove. Hove is showing the old head rappers that you don't, okay, yeah, I did that. Maybe, I'm not saying he's admitting to mistakes, but from 444 to this, oh, he's oh.
Yeah, I'm a Jay-Z fan now.
Wow, nigga, I'm playing the lottery, my nigga.
Yeah, I'm a Jay-Z fan now. I told you, since 444, I was like, okay.
I was always a Jay fan because lyrically the nigga was nasty. So I always liked Jay. But he, like you said, he was always on that, a lot of that polished, talking that slick shit. So a lot of niggas wasn't fucking with that.
Nope.
But he was just so, the way he was saying it was just like other niggas couldn't do that. So, but now, the criticism, since we're going to go to criticism route.
Oh.
I'm getting ready to criticize Jay Elect.
Mmm.
Oh.
Because this is supposed to be Jay Elect's album. Now, I do not know what the dynamics was to this shit or why the fuck it ended up being Jay-Z on a lot of this shit, but I'm surmising and I'm guessing. This is my guess of what happened. I'm thinking Jay was like, nigga, we need to put this album out. Jay-Z, that is. We need to get this album out, B. Let's put this album out. Nah, son, I'm over here in the Maldives right now, son. We chilling. Me and Wifey, we good. Oh, nah, nigga, we out here in Paris right now, son. We chilling. Jay like, B, we got to get this album done, son. What's good? Fuck it, son. I'll hop on. I'll do half the album with you. Let's get this shit done. Oh, you going to do half the album? All right, B, let's do it.
Damn, man, you saying Jay Elect was lazy?
Lazy as shit, son. I'm thinking, because he could have been, like I said, B, I wasn't giving him no passes before. Nigga, you could have been had an album done. You had way too much time to have an album done that you, it took this Jay taking half that fucking album for you to get an album done. You didn't even, this is not your album. Basically, this is like a half an album. This is a duo, a group album.
Mm. Are we really complaining that Jay-Z and Jay Elect got an album?
I'm saying a criticism of Jay Elect on the fact that he could have already done an album and could have gotten it done. I'm not shitting on the product. The product that they put out was okay. I'm not saying it's great. I'm just saying it's okay. Lyrically, I think niggas was outstanding at what they were saying. But as far as the beat-wise, it could have been better.
Okay.
I could see if it was J-Elec and Waka Flocka. I'll be wilding.
That's not what I'm wilding on, B. That's not even where I'm going at with this.
I understand.
I'm saying the fact that Jay-Z had to fucking basically coerce this nigga into putting an album out, or else it would have never got put out. He would have never put an album out if Jay-Z hadn't done what he done. That's what I'm feeling. Not saying that's how it happened, but I'm just saying that's how I'm feeling, like Jay-Z had to fucking prod this nigga into actually getting this shit done.
Look,
I'm glad he did.
I'm going to say this. I mean, yes, okay. And one of the criticisms that I was really taking off the text chain, shout out to all the snare slappers out there and shit, that they was figuring that, oh, these niggas really took shorts on beats, yo. It's just, like Kerr G said, it's ridiculous. As much money as they got, they could have hired anybody, you know. Look, okay, J-Elec's got the record out. Maybe on the next album, you know, that's when you could get the Preems and them niggas involved in that or whatever. But I don't know.
Will be 80 when he comes out with another album.
He probably will never make another album, knowing him. But all that being said, again, like I said, that this shit right here to me, I was so happy that, A, number one, to the fact that the record was out, but the fact that I'm listening to this record and I'm like, oh, holy shit. These niggas, literally, the way they did it, there was no appearances from Dre. There was no none of that. Maybach, you know, all that interloping shit that they usually would have spent money on. Yeah, none of that. None of that shit. And even the cast that they had on there and shit, they either are on hooks or very slim. You can't even really tell, you know? So, I mean, that's just me, yo. Again, I understand. First of all, let me say, in today's hip hop, with, again, the word hype, which I think is just horrible for our music, hype, I can see why cats are saying, oh, damn, it was underwhelming. I can understand that.
But Jay is like, put this on himself.
Nigga,
as far as that go, he put this on himself because all these years, niggas have been waiting for him to put that out. He put a single, niggas were like, oh yeah, he need to put something out. He put a single, put something out. So he created that hype. It's not like niggas just made a hype. He created that shit because the fucking shit he was putting out in exhibit joints was crazy. Well, so that hype was created behind those.
I don't remember what track it is, but I heard him say something about, why should I put out a record for people to pick me apart?
Yeah, I remember that shit. Pick him apart.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So it makes sense because, I mean, we've talked about it plenty of times about, yeah, that nigga ain't never put an album out. You know, we talked about it plenty of times, but the fact that it's out and it's not whack, I ain't mad at all.
Y'all remember them shows, some subsequent shows, we was put that nigga on a countdown?
Yep. Yep.
The J-Elec
and the
countdown.
Count out, because he was out of there.
Yeah, no doubt.
But we heard an album and nobody here said it's whack.
And, oh, hell no, it's not whack.
All these other reasons. Oh, it's too much Jay-Z. Oh, the beats. But he
it's
is
not whack.
Spitting like Jay Electronica on that joint.
It is not whack, B. I'm not even saying that. I'm nitpicking and giving criticism to the fact of what's going on. But as far as the album, I can't complain.
I tell you what, the intro with Farrakhan and what he's saying, yo, I'm flabbergasted that Hov is even a part. I'm flabbergasted that he's even a part of this shit, nigga.
Talking about
that shit got me Tiger Woods out here fist pumping and shit, yo. That shit, I'm just saying,
nigga.
Yep.
Nigga, let me tell you this. He a fucking billionaire. He don't give a fuck no more. He can say and do whatever.
Good.
He could care less.
Okay.
Here's what you think.
It's about time.
So, all right, that's what's good, yo. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, and I'm very sad to say this, rest in peace to our boy Sam the Man Burns.
Yeah, buddy.
A special somebody. If you were like us, me and Swerve, who were living in the DC area, and you went to 12-inch Dance Records, later which became DJ Hut. There's a lot of people who worked at that store. I met Teddy Douglas at that store. I met Mandrill at that store. Just a lot of things, but the constant was Sam the Man Burns.
Yes, sir.
He was Washington, D.C.'s house music founder, if you will. Okay? He was the man, and it was the man down 12-inch, yo. Just incredible, you know, incredible DJ. Always very nice, always very friendly, always very helpful. You know, when you went in there, these are the days before, you know, obviously before digital, and you didn't know what was up. Yo, Sam, yo, I need like five, six joints. Sam, it's like, bank, bank, bank here, guaranteed.
Right. Guaranteed.
Yo.
And it was like you said, he was a house DJ, but we went down there buying hip hop. I mean, I know you bought house too, but I went down there buying hip hop, and to be able to have this conversation with him and to be able to trust him like that, he just throw a joint at you. It's like, and of course, that's when you could play the record, you know, and listen to it on all them turntables they had in there.
Right.
And like, oh, I got to get two of them. You know what I'm saying? So, and like you said, he never said any, I never heard him say anything negative about anything or anybody, yo.
Right. No doubt. So, I got a semi-personal story about Sam. I was going down 12-inch a lot back in these days or whatever, and our boy Baby Boy was with him. And if you know Baby Boy and our crew, whatever, he fancied himself a ladies' man and whatnot. So we down 12-inch. Little cute girl was working at 12-inch at that time, and Baby Boy was hollering at her or whatever. She seemed like she was giving Baby Boy some rhythm or whatever, but then she froze up every time Sam walked in the room and shit. So Baby Boy, like, for the next two times I'm going down 12, she's like, yo, I'm going to go down there with you or whatever. So he hollering at this, you know, he hollering at this girl, whatever. And then next thing you know, I guess they must have gotten into a conversation. He was like, oh, yeah, Sam on it. No wonder. You know? Oh, it was hilarious, yo. And Sam, and you know how cool Sam was or whatever.
Mad cool.
Yo, so Baby Boy hollered at it, Sam on the wheels and shit, looking over and shit.
Gave her that look.
Yo, it was absolutely incredible. And two, to say that the, you know, where I've seen Sam, who played in every club in the district, but I've seen him the most at the clubhouse, the club that had one side hip hop and the other side house. Yeah, Sam was at the clubhouse. You know, if you go way back with Sam, you know about the clubhouse, yo. Okay. Sam used to be in there killing it, yo.
Yeah, just saying 12-inch dance records versus DJ Hut tells you how far back it goes.
No, no doubt. No doubt. And like I said, I got the 12-inch.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yes, I got their bag and a frame. Yeah. You know, their record bag and a frame. So it was a very important record store.
Take a picture
store.
Of that, B.
Yo, I will. Send it. No doubt. Okay. I will. So, indeed. So, and also, rest in peace to McCoy Tyner, the jazz pianist. He passed away a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to say anything, but he played right alongside John Coltrane. And I guess, you know, when you talk about jazz greats, he saw and witnessed history. He was originally, I believe, from Philadelphia. Boy, there's a lot of cats from Philly. He was heavy into jazz, yo. Yeah, he grew up in Philadelphia. Obviously, he played with Coltrane, and I think he ended up recording something like 81 albums, okay?
Gee.
And he was on the classic A Love Supreme, a four-part suite. He played in that. So it's crazy. That's back when Mr. Tyner was a young man. He's like in his mid-20s, you know? Playing with the Kings. And I just want to say rest in peace to him, yo. That's a situation. Tell you what, man, if you listen to McCoy Tyner, it'll put you in a whole different space. So as far as jazz go or whatever, and I do have a couple of his records, I'm glad to say. So indeed, rest in peace to those two Kings.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Next topic on Hip Hop Digest. This is strictly for you, Swerve. I couldn't believe it when I seen it as I'm scrolling through my phone because I don't have my paper ready. But this is for Irv directly, and it is called Butt Hurt Bernie Supporters.
Oh, damn.
I'm sorry, B. Yeah, B, I'm just saying.
You the one. Now, you sounded emotional. You looking for shit to just... to strike up shit, but it doesn't bother me like that.
No,
it's just
B.
A fucking vote, B. I don't care.
Okay, there. Okay, really, the title, well, the copy says, there is a never Biden movement that vows not to vote for Joe Biden, just like Sleepy similar Joe. To the right, Sleepy Joe. There's a movement going on, and the gist of the movement was some of the things that you were saying, and even you, Kurt G, you said this shit sounds kind of fishy. How Bernie Sanders supporters were upset at the last election because the party insiders and bigwigs did him in at the convention.
Right.
Basically, they was like, fuck out of here, Bernie. It's Hillary. You know, they did him in. And the Bernie supporters was like, fuck that. You know, they was hurt, you know, and hence what I call butthurt supporters. This time around, the article goes on to say that it's not party bigwigs or insiders. It is, and I just like I said the last show, it is independent voters and African Americans in critical southern states who did Bernie in. Who's basically not voting for him, especially in Michigan, because Bernie won Michigan last year and then lost it this year. But those voters, those Bernie voters are saying 2 out of 5 said, you know what? If Biden is the nominee, I ain't voting for him. A la, I thought about you. You said, fuck it. You going on a write-in jump off or whatever.
And why did I say that? I said, because I'm not voting for no fucking lesser of two evils. Not because of no other shit except for what I say. I don't give a fuck who they are. If it's two evils, fuck you. I'll write King Killer on that motherfucker. Not voting for the lesser two evils. I don't give a fuck who it is. I did that the last time.
And I
regret it.
And you will be continuing to be writing people in because you know what, B? That's what African Americans do. That's what we've been doing.
Guess what, King Killer B? I'll be voting. Now what?
Not B. I'm saying.
All right, then.
That's what African Americans, and we've been doing that since slavery. You always pick about the lesser of two evils. Hence, I'm going to do it again.
Okay, so when we going to quit doing that shit, B?
You don't have a choice to do. You don't have
No, you do have a choice.
You got a choice.
Okay.
You, do have a
you
choice.
Always got a choice. So, you may not like the choice, but you always got a choice.
So the point is, and that's why I use the critical example of slaves. Slaves who actually fought for the Confederacy. In the last days of the Confederacy was so desperate. The North was cutting their ass and they was going to lose. At that point, the Confederacy was like, put a rifle in that nigga hand. We're so desperate. In order for let me
syndrome.
Be in what? Order. No, they weren't suffering from like a Munchausen type syndrome because even for them, for a minute, slavery was so fucked up to get the boot off of their neck. If only for a second they put on a Confederate uniform. That's why African-Americans, again, you may not like the choices. And you're right. You have a choice and you cannot vote. That's your choice. You can do a write-in vote. That's your choice. Or you can do what we have done since we were brung here in
How's
chains.
How's that working for you?
B, you can say what you want to say. You know, it take a long time. What do you mean, how's it working for you? It works how it works. If you want me to sit up here and explain to you how African-American lives are flourishing because of X, Y, and Z, I'm not going to say that. You're the one who used the example of, has your life changed since Trump?
Exactly. And you said no.
So...
And nigga, I ain't trying to continue to be a hamster on that wheel. Fuck that wheel,
you
nigga.
You can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want.
Vote.
But again,
because that's the end of the day when niggas like you say, oh, you gotta vote. You gotta vote. I'm a vote, nigga. I just might not be voting for who you want me to vote for or other people want me to vote for.
It doesn't matter. I'm not criticizing you on who you vote for. I'm just saying my answer to your question about the issue at hand, I'm telling you, our history in this country, even on a day-to-day level, is filled with those type of decisions. And I'm not saying it's right, and I'm not even saying, I'm going to tell you just like I told Mario, just like, you know, with your boy Tavis Smiley and Cornel West running around, you know, basically saying Obama ain't getting the job done. They want Obama to come out and be, you know, Farrakhan Jr. and shit. That wasn't going to happen. Obama had to make that choice. I'm just saying, right here in this country, that's a choice that we have to make on a micro level, on a day-to-day choice, even all the way up to quote-unquote presidential elections. Fuck it, local elections, the same thing, you know
what
I'm saying?
That's just important, though. You know? Local elections are how you get motherfuckers up to those other positions to be president and all that shit. So that shit, to me, again, is significantly more important than figuring out a suit that's going to sit in the White House.
I tell you what, just for full disclosure, I want to get out of this topic because we did politics long the last time. If Bernie was the nominee, I'd vote for him. And I'd vote for him, in full disclosure, I don't particularly like Bernie. But you know what? But if he was the nominee, I'd vote for Bernie. Period. Because again, African Americans and our history and our heritage have always made the best we can out of the worst circumstances. So I disagree with you.
Don't you think it's time for a change?
B, I disagree with you with all that other shit, but that's your choice and I respect it. I disagree, but I would vote for Bernie if the shoe was on the other foot.
And that would be a good vote, sir. Kurt G said, I'm just be quiet.
I'm staying the fuck up out of it, B. I'm staying up out of it this time around.
But you know what, though? Regardless of whatever the fuck either one of us got to say, I appreciate the fact, brother, that we can talk about politics, because people be scared as fuck to talk about politics and religion, yo. And I love you just the same. I'll give a fuck who you vote for as long as you vote.
No doubt. And on that note, we definitely can agree. And I'll say it once, to say it again, it is very, very difficult to get African-American men. And I ain't talking about felony cats, or I ain't even talking about cats who may have other issues. Man, it's very difficult, yo. So, yeah. Indeed. So, shout to you, son.
Bottles of Henny out there at the voting poll, yo.
Oh, you get niggas out there then. Yeah, all kinds of niggas out there with free bottles.
Yeah, we got that C-Rock, niggas.
Again, B, I'll tell you what, man, I never forget my first election, yo. The Republican table had 6 packs of Bush on the table. And word is born, I see Ron Ron and them niggas at the Republican table.
Man. Whatever it takes.
Give us your vote, my nigga. Get a 6-pack.
That's what's up. All right, so are we ready for the world famous?
Yes, sir.
All right. Kurt G's world famous albums of the week.
All right. This week we got Cecil Fielder and Oso Blanco. When the Rain Comes, that's Cecil Fielder. And Oso Blanco, When the Rain Comes. Then we got DJ Plattern and Edgewise Amphitheater EP. That's DJ Plattern and Edgewise Amphitheater EP. And the instrumental joint is De La Atmosphere Airlines Volume 2. Instrumentals, that's De La Atmosphere Airlines Volume 2, the instrumentals.
All right, sir. So, well, I guess we'll do it unless we're quarantined. Next week.
Yeah, man.
We can still do it. We just have to do it over the phone.
Right.
So that's what's good, yo.
Wash your hands, yo.
Wash your hands. Ain't that something? You got to tell niggas to wash their hands.
Good night.
20 seconds.
And God bless.
One.
Peace.
Smith and Wesson lose stunk, and from jail we grew up, breaking up a soup cup, unlimited phone time, didn't play it too tough, always cross the line, people got funny borders, I don't give a fuck about kites, send me money orders, plenty daughters, have me slow down, but not enough, here's threats every day,
but they not showing up. Keep rappers like shit, even if the niggas tough. I got the Cal in the club, homie wild if you want. Clips on my head, push a T with your face on it. Put a nigga in a box like it's race on it. Kidnapping for insurance, stay for me. Or I light your city up, now we ain't calling. For freezing off the scene when we spray garment, smoke a tone flip while a couple lawyers ain't charged.
It ain't no shame in how it's done. But how
yeah,
it's done.
Check
how it's
it. Done. I'm from a blue collar city. It takes some numbers for preparation. Mayors corrupt, but under a fed investigation. With corner civilians, they slumber from ghetto sedation. Gunshots are disrupting. Fuck up the summer celebration. Peep it. They check on my catalog and see my portfolio classic. Distributed medicine, all of this music is homeopathic. Call me the GOAT, Muhammad Ali. Got all of your fastest homies where the hardest. Till the slug that your car that you're crashing. Flannel where my boxes. The man be examining my posture. But it's over, they plan to be obnoxious. Throw us back in advance without an option. Just to capture the phantom of the chakras. Yo, she come to the guard when she want to boost the deliverance. You suck at the lips, but you never true to the clitoris. Shit is biblical, showing proof through oblivion. We blaze double L's and we call it Luke or Leviticus. Amen.
But how it's done. It ain't no shame. Shame in our game. We do our thing.
They gon' get with this shit.
Never what you do, but how it's done.
Last but not least, I crash without leash. That's off the chain piece. I fast without feast. That Brooklyn built brawn. The rook that took pawn. That's chess, not checkers. I press with spy records. Chalk the outline of my hustle and outline them. The flow fresher than water, I alkaline them. Nicer, rest in peace, Jimmy Spicer. Super rhyme, super soak them when I slice ya. Sean Price ya, punch you through a yellow bus. The bar's cocoa bread patty with the yellow crust. Delicioso, the seasoning is savory. A bullet through your badge of honor for your bravery. Street ministry, sweatsuit, my nigga sin. Legal or illegal, we gon' bring them figures in. I rock a bucket on my crown like I'm BMD. Stay solid, I'm a rider for my PNC.
It ain't no shame, we came and I came. We do our things.
They gon' get with this shit.
It's never what you do, but how it's done. It ain't no shame, we came and I came. We do our things.
They gon' get with this shit.
Never what you do, but how it's done.
If I see an opportunity, then I'ma make it mine. To hit the majors, sometimes you gotta switch the play up. Put the work in, stay chiseled and stay up. Travel far and wide, always showing off our pride. Moments of affection, lessons I've taken in stride. Hold it all together, blessings, I'm here for the ride. Prepping for the next season, I break down the defense. Smooth moves and jukes, too cool to lose. Hit you with the dream shake, then I'm moving through. Went from moving raps to moving shoes. being suspended from school to the who's who, now who's you? Nothing but imposters, names ain't on the roster, carved up off the pasta. It's been a hell of a run, we just getting started. 10,000 hours charted, H hit me with the Caesar, half
take a look at my game face. Ain't no stopping me, you know I'm coming in first place. Won't stop it till I get that ring. I'ma dominate all day. No matter who you bring, I will not lose. I will not lose.
I will not lose.
Yo, it's over before it even begins. Cause they can't see me in the game, just like an imaginary friend, going at it for the win. I'm all about a W, my defense is wonderful. Lock them down and cover you to get that shot out of here. I make a face like it tastes bitter, the first draft pick of the litter. I'm hot as fire's burning down under shrimp on the barbie. I'm not sorry, barbecue grilling whoever guard me. They can't stop me, nah nah, they can't hold me. The move so cold that they instant replay it slowly. So take your time, I rap with crazy lines. A lot of y'all soft newborn baby thighs. I'm hard-nosed to bad boys in 89. It's tough love with a military major mind. Make a rhyme, but if it ain't got no heat, why care? Ain't no I in team, but they gon' meet right there.
What?
Up in the paint, going hard to the rack, till I feel a plexiglass coming down on my back. Getting teed up for a hang time rim rocker. I rock the baby to sleep and
boom, shakalaka.
And one, but now I need to make the free throws. Game face, you can see it in my cheekbones. You can see it in my eyes. Surprise, a beast when I metamorphosize.
Take a look in my game face. Ain't no stopping me, you know I'm coming in first place. Won't stop it till I get that ring. I'ma dominate all day. No matter who you bring, I will not lose. I will not lose.
I will not lose. I will not lose.
Y'all boss, you fuckers know the guard roar. Y'all saw when the noise, the rappers who want a star wall. I leave the metal in your grill, like your ball wall, dog wall. The bitches love it, say they want more. Fly nigga, always ready to ride nigga. Y'all can have these shorties, I'ma play the side nigga. Yeah, when the llamas out, you hide nigga. Try nigga, act stupid, then it's spy nigga. Sip the tiger bone and grab the microphone. Spit like an hour straight, dog, your mind get blown. Yeah, you know these metaphors are like your dog. Also, it teaches niggas right from wrong. Yeah, I'm light to these blind folks. You could be the nigga blindfold. I put on work for the dollar sign stone. Bitch, I grind on, so I shine more. Yeah. I'm a motherfucking savage with the ratchet. I leave you a hose like a basket. Fuck around, you end up in the gasket. While I'm overseas in the suite, living lavish. Smoking on the pot while I'm getting top. From your bitch, you bent over, let me hit the twat. I'm way iller than you niggas stop. Always keep a few shooters when I hit the block. I'm a deli MC slash a fucking G. Kick the fucking buckets when you fuck with me. Ball for ball, pound for pound, I crush your teeth. So you won't have no lips to suck a dick. The man at an hour, weak niggas out the power. It's gonna be a bloodbath when I let this bullet shower. Eyes looking like a gower. After I motherfucking blow the sour, nigga. Yeah.
It's a hard knock life and it only gets hotter. You could be the savior or you could play the martyr. Just watch what you pick to be a potter. Kids get burned quick, fricassee for nada. Keep an eye on the chick that's in the Prada. Who by night is a stripper in a gutter. High as a kite and addicted to narcotics. But everybody's hustling a product. So is she a hustler first? A thirst for brand names and lust for furs. Now she got a back page ad for that fast lane cash. She hits the city and she's fucking for hers. So she got a Benz and some things and her bank is fat. You can choke, you can bang, you can spank her back. But she's listening to way too much gangster rap. She's in a trap, there's no way that she can't come back. Cause she disappeared with a shiver. Yeah, it's a cold world for a lost soul. They found her legs at the bottom of the river. 2 weeks later in the alley was a torso. See, it's a fact. You put it in the universe, the shit come back. Just the wrong fix to pick. In a world so sick, go get you done up quick. You can't trick the
track. One rule to this game, the game is no rules. Tools of the trade, we learn the trade tools. Act fool, outcome so cruel. Street talk and you answer back, I get clapped.
It always gets darkest right before dawn, they say. When nighttime fell in the skies, he had hell in his eyes. He loads a pistol and he's on his way. On his way to wrath, on his way to pride. On his way to put this fucker on the other side. Since his brother died, he could feel the cold go through him. Now it's time to kill the pusher that had sold it to him. He called him up to meet him for the fuel. Jumped in the front seat to greet him with the tool. He shot once, he was bleeding through his wool. He popped 2-3 and leave him in a pool. Speeding through the school parking lot. After shots rang fast, hit the gas. He was gone when the cops came. Ditched the burner, got the hell home quickly. But what about the cell phone history? It didn't take long for detectives to hop on the case. And of course they connected the dots. He never made trial, he never made bail. The dope man had fam that had killed him in jail. There's pain in the game, blood in the streets. Choice to make, there's no love and no peace. They said the shooter was white and the victim was black. But it really doesn't matter, there's no trick in the
one
trap.
One rule to this game, the game is no rules. Tools of the trade, we learn the trade tools. Act fool, outcome so cruel. Street talk and you answer back, I get clapped. Can't trick the trap. Can't trick the trap. Can't trick the trap. Street talk and you gon' get clapped.
And that's a fact. Let me hear you say, and you know that.
And you know that.
You dippy dippy guys are so socialized. But how we gonna make a black nation rise? While you party down, y'all and shock the house. Get down, rock, shock the house. The Ku Klux Klan is on the loose. Training their kids in machine gun use. Okay, everything has its place and time. We can rock the house too as we shock your mind.
Word up, we can't brag and we can't boast. Need the bread and butter for our breakfast toast.
Look at all the things that can prove the point. Sisters in the distance, brothers in the joint.
As you dip it, the guys are so socialized. How we gonna make the black nation rise?
How we gonna make the black nation rise?
The people call me Brother D, and I'm here to shed some light. To bring the truth right on down to earth from where it once was out of sight. But before I continue, just let me say, this is not my ego suit. I sat down and thought, and I wrote this verse in the interest of the group. Come on, my people.
People. Can't you see what's really going on? Unemployment's high, the house is bad, and the schools are teaching wrong. Cancer from the water, pollution in the air, but you're partying hard like you just don't care.
Wake up, y'all, you know that ain't right.
Cause that hurts everybody, black or white.
The disco rhyme. You're moving to the rhythm, but you're wasting time. Stop and think. Do you know what's real? Well, let me educate you to the real deal. The media is telling lies. The devil taking off his disguise. They're killing us in the street while
how we pay more for a food that's cheap, and all you wanna do is so socialize.
How we gonna make that nationwide?
Remember the so-called Indian? Look what they did to him. Maybe they'll do that to us. Did a struggle, did a win. I mean, damn, get out of your seat. Damn, get on your feet. We say damn, and I will repeat. We mean damn, we're tired of defeat. Damn, no more sitting around. We say damn, it's time for throwing down. Damn, let's even the score, cause we're fired up. It won't take no more. We're fired up, it won't take no more. We're fired up, it won't take no more. America's got concentration camps.
People like that come
give
me
time,
warning us about genocide.
While you're partying on and on, the others may be hot by the break of dawn. Your party may end one day soon when they round the niggas up in the afternoon.
And you start to wonder, are the people done? Well, Martin Luther King said, overcome. How are we gonna make a black nationwide? All you wanna do is dibby 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 die. No, no, brothers, it's not like that. You gotta rap for the people, tell them where is that?
Elijah stole us out of pool our wealth. Collectively, we must do for ourselves.
While you fight each other without a fair, but fight the system, you never dare. Well, if you ain't down, we'll get you first, cause you slow us down just like a curse.
My mind is spirit, we can't let die. Put a message in our music for I and I. Service to our people, we must redeem. Like Coltrane's homegrown love supreme.
We heard what Marcus Garvey said, and we can't stand still.
He said,
America was built, understand, by stolen labor on stolen land. Take a second thought as you clap and stamp. Can you rock the house from inside the camp? As you move into the beat to the early light, the country's moving to the right. Prepare now, all get high and wake, cause it ain't no party in the holy state.
That's it, all we who dare to be free. We gotta change the way we behave. You gotta sacrifice for our righteous cause or remain a passive slave.
We're not anti any other racial group, just understand we're pro-black.
And we're against anyone or thing that tries to hold us back.
So think, but don't take too long, the time is getting late.
And DJ, if you got a mic, it's your job to educate.
Well, I know my voice is not rated S. We didn't talk about money or talk about sex. We didn't talk about clothes or cars and things. And you might be tired of my lecturing. So while you dance and while you sing, all we want to do is ask just one thing. While you dibby dibby dies and so socialize, are you going to help the black nation rise?
You dibby dibby dies and so socialize. How we going to help the black nation?
How we gonna make the black nation rise? Gotta agitate, educate, and organize. How we gonna make the black nation rise?
Agitate, educate, organize.
How we gonna make the black nation rise?
Agitate, educate, organize.
Gonna organize, organize.
Agitate, educate, organize.
Gonna agitate and organize.
Agitate, educate, organize.
Gonna educate, organize.
Agitate, educate, organize.
Gonna organize and organize.
Agitate, educate, organize.
Gonna do what?